great songs and Bill's right. It's been a miserable. Turn to somebody near you right now and say, it's been hot this week. Tell them that right now. It's been hot this week. You can say it like that, too, if you want. It's been hot this week. All right, I got to tell you a story. All right, I was in a suit earlier in the week, meeting across town, not my typical thing, 95 degrees, suit, bad idea. But anyway, so I was in my suit, I was hot as all get out, and so on the way back from the meeting, I said, okay, I need to run and get some lunch. So I stopped at Subway, and I was in line, and the lady, it's just hot, it's hot, and a lady that was doing the condiments, as I was coming down the line, she looked at me in my suit, and she goes, you look smart. I said, well, that's nice of her. But I'm not trying to be the humble guy that I am. I looked at her and I said, well, no, I look hot. To which she said, that's awfully confident. And we had a fun discussion. She was a delight. But anyway, I hope you look as hot as I do. Anyway, all good. All right, so we're talking about trail life and, being on the trail. And the most famous trail on this side of the continent, of course, is the Appalachian Trail. Appalachian Trail is the longest trail on this side of the continent. It goes for 2,200 miles, meanders through 14 states. And it starts in the Chattahoochee National Forest in Georgia and goes all the way up to Baxter State Park in Maine. Thousands, maybe even more than thousands, have done the entire thing. They call that a through hike, have done the entire thing. Millions have done portions of it, and that's probably people in this room. I know Betsy and I have done portions of the Appalachian Trail in North Carolina, in Tennessee, in West Virginia, New Hampshire, and of course, right here in Virginia. Virginia has more Appalachian Trail than any other state. We have 544 miles of the Appalachian Trail going through the crest of the Blue Ridge here in our beautiful state. Dale Sanders of Tennessee completed his through hike. He did the whole thing and finished it on October 26, 2017, at the age of 82. Can you imagine? The oldest known hiker to complete the Appalachian Trail. I can't imagine doing it at 22, much less 82. It takes incredible dedication, incredible determination to set out and complete one of these through hikes. If you've ever been on the Appalachian Trail, you will have noticed blazes. Many trails have blazes, but the Appalachian Trail has their own blaze. And a blaze is a marker on a tree. It's a trail guide that's painted on a tree along the trail that is specific. It's 2 inches wide and 6 inches high. The Appalachian Trail Conservatory says that if you've gone a couple hundred miles on the AT and have not seen one of those blazes, you need to retrace your steps because you've probably taken a wrong turn somewhere. Those trail guides keep you on the right trail while you're on the journey. Paul's two letters to the Thessalonians provide a series of trail guides to help us navigate well the journey of life. Like the trail guides, the blazes on a hiking trail, these two New Testament letters provide us helpful and encouraging markers to travel well this journey of life. We want to travel well. I want to travel it well. Not only do I want to travel it well in my own estimation, I want to travel it well in the eyes of God. We want to stay on the trail. We want to help others on the trail. And let's just say, I want to enjoy the trail. We do this best when we traverse the trail of life according to the guides set out in Scripture. So we're taking one chapter a week, and the very first chapter, we talked about all the equipment that we need to take with us on our hike. And we need to make sure our backpack is stuffed full of faith, love, and hope. And we talked about having those things in abundance so that we don't run out of them on our journey. Last week, Chris reminded us that God is our ultimate trail guide. He is the one that we want to make sure that we're on the path with every single day. So today we come to 1 Thessalonians 3. We're doing, next week will be 4, the week after 5. We're doing one chapter a week through these two letters through the month of August. 1 Thessalonians 3 reminds us that the trail comes with trials. the trail comes with trials. I don't know anybody that likes trials. But, you know, trials in life are a reality. Trials are inevitable. Trials are a part of every... If you're born, you're going to experience trials in your life. We would be naive to think that the Christian life is immune to trials. And Paul makes sure that his readers, both then and now, understand that he experienced trials. They would experience trials. And he even reminds them that Jesus experienced trials when he was here on this earth. So I want us to read about that today. Let's read chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you can follow on the screen if you'd like, or your tablet or phone. Chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. Let's remember where we are here. Paul has just left Athens. He was kicked out of Thessalonica. He was forced out of Thessalonica. He and his entourage end up in Athens. Some of the most beautiful teaching we have is Paul there in Athens, recorded for us in the book of Acts. While in Athens, he sends Timothy back to find out how the church in Thessalonica is doing. He's worried about them. He sends Timothy back, and now they meet up in Corinth. And he gets this tremendously positive report from Timothy. So positive that he immediately sits down and he writes the letter that we call 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 3 says, "So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. But Timothy has just now come to us from you, and has brought good news about your faith and love. He's told us that you always have pleasant memories of us, and that you long to see us just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now we really live, since you're standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones." This chapter... This brief little chapter, chapter 3, provides a timely reminder, a timely trail guide for the Christian traveler. Paul reminds us that if you are a follower of Jesus, trials are your destiny. Trials are your destiny. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. Now, I think the word destiny that Paul uses here is quite interesting. Interesting that he chooses that word of all the words that he could have chosen. When I think of destiny, when I think of the word destiny in common usage, you know, literature, movies, culture in general, I often equate it with fate. You know, I often equate it with fatalism. Well, it is what it is. It's destiny, and there's nothing you can do to change it. And I typically hear that in negative terms. I am a child of the 70s, and being a child of the 70s, I grew up, on Star Wars. And Star Wars, you know, in one of the most famous scenes from Star Wars, Darth Vader famously says to Luke Skywalker in The Empire Strikes Back, he says those words, and I can't do James Earl Jones, so I won't even try. He says, "Join me," says to Luke, "join me, and together we can rule the galaxy as father and son. It is your destiny." It is your destiny. I can't do it. All right. It is your destiny. But yeah, I think it's always interesting because as I watch the movies, Darth. That may have been his destiny, but it's not what happened, is it? It didn't happen. So what does Paul mean when he says that trials are the destiny for the believer? This is the only time in the Bible this word is used. It's the Greek word kaimetha. It's the only time that word is used in the entire Bible. But we see what he gets by seeing other usages of the root. The root of that word is kaime. And kaime means laid out, set, appointed. So there is a sense of inevitability about it. But with Paul, the inevitability is determined by God, not by fate, not by luck, certainly not by Darth Vader. The inevitability is determined by God. Paul says that God doesn't cause our trials, but God makes it known through Jesus that trials will indeed be a part of a life of faith. Whoever wants to be my disciple, Jesus says, must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. There is a cross to bear in following Jesus. Now, I do think overall there are two types of trials that we go through in life. One of those trials are the trials, they're life trials. They're the trials that everybody faces, whether you're a believer, non-believer, whether you live in, you know, Europe or South America or Richmond, Virginia. We all go through the same types of trials. And we all know what those are. That's disease and illness, loss, the loss of jobs, the loss of relationships, the loss of life of loved ones, struggles. I mean, we can name the trials of life, and, you know, we could take, 20 minutes and name, 100 of them, whatever. We know those. But then there are the trials that are the result of walking the Christian life. If you're carrying your cross with Jesus, these trials are inevitable. Now, those trials include rejection and ridicule for your faith, sometimes subtle, sometimes pretty significant. Loss of jobs, loss of promotions because you took a Christ-like stand in the workplace. It's a big word, but I do think it's appropriate. Marginalization, being pushed to kind of the margins at work or at school or just in the culture in general. When we stand up for biblical truth in the workplace, when we stand up for biblical truth in our kids' schools, in the halls of government, on social media, it will come with resistance, often great resistance. This is just me personally, and you may not feel this way, but to me, just here recently, the last couple of weeks, the media backlash against Jim Caviezel and the movie Sound of Freedom has been astounding to me. I hand wrote in my notes, it's been baffling to me. I would encourage, if you haven't seen that movie, I would strongly encourage you, if it's still in theaters, to go see it. But the backlash against all for shining a light and telling the truth about child sex trafficking in the world and in our own country. If we are walking in the ways of Christ, we are destined to face trouble, persecution, and trials. They are an inevitable part of our trail. Now, of course, you determine how you're going to weather those trials, all of them, the trials of life, the trials of faith. You determine how you're going to weather them. You can handle them with anger, and you can handle them with bitterness. You can handle them with defensiveness, or you can handle them with grace and poise and love and trust. You could also handle them by not handling them. Some people never get on the trail. Some people get off the trail because they don't want the trials that come from being a follower of Jesus. Jesus said that the trail is narrow and few will choose it. And that's right. Some of them see the trials. Some of them experience it. Nope, not for me. And they get off the trail. Paul points out in this chapter that if you're a follower of Jesus, trials are your destiny, but you are called to strengthen and encourage the church. Everyone in this room, you're either currently going through a trial or you're going to be going through a trial. It is just the part of life. So you can also look at the person next to you, the person two rows in front of you, the person in a whole total another service today, and you can be guaranteed that they too are either going through a trial right now or they're going to be going through a trial. It is inevitable. Our collective role, though, becomes strengthening and encouraging each other. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service and spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. This is what we're called to do, to strengthen and encourage each other in our faith. That means that we have to keep an eye out for each other. It means we have to check in with each other. It means we have to offer help to each other. It means we need to be there for each other. It means we need to pray for each other. It means we need to listen to each other. I just say, personally today, and it's not about me, but I can only speak for me. You know, this past week, I had two funerals this past week. I had a funeral for a senior saint, lady in her 80s, who lived a godly life, and she's with Jesus now, and it was a great celebration of her life. Also had a funeral service for a 24-year-old who died tragically in a car accident right here in our own community. And I can tell you, as my friends and as my family, I can tell you the only way that I can get through a week like that, the only way I could get through a Friday, the only way I could stand in the pulpit over there in the sanctuary is because of your prayers. Because of your support and your encouragement. I often think, and I know I've shared them before, but I often think of what I remember George W. Bush said after 9/11 when he was interviewed. He looks at that interviewer and he says, the only way I can get through this is through the prayers of a faithful nation. And he said these words, and he said, I can feel them. And I know exactly what he means. I feel your prayers and I thank you for them. And that's not even talking about these families who are suffering unspeakable loss, and how your prayers encourage them and strengthen them in the worst of times. We need each other. We need each other. It wasn't Jesus and the disciple. It was Jesus and the 12 disciples. And those 12 became 12 followers who were dedicated to being there for each other, strengthening and encouraging each other on their journey. The disciples didn't always get it right. You read the Gospels and you see them. They're petty, they're argumentative, they're competitive. But then the Holy Spirit came. And with God's presence dwelling in them, they had power and unity that changed the world. Even as each of them went to their death because of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And we can and we must face the trials of life, the trials of the Christian life. We must face them together. Later in this chapter, Paul tells his friends in Thessalonica that we encourage, we strengthen each other, and he says how we do that best. He says, if you're a follower of Jesus, your faith will encourage others. Of all the things that encourage, the most encouraging is your faith. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. When others are going through trials, they see how we go through trials. They see if our faith is real. They see if our faith is genuine. They see if our faith is just words that we say and they sound real good, or if they really truly impact every square inch of our lives. They see us in our trials, continuing to practice the disciplines of our faith, continuing to read the Bible, continuing to come to worship, continuing to be in Bible study, continuing to pray. They see us turning to God rather than away from God. They see us continuing to reach out to others instead of withdrawing into our shells. They see real, genuine faith. Does my faith encourage others? Is my faith visible to others? Is my faith real, genuine, authentic? You have to answer those questions for yourself. We all know that there are dangers along the trail. If you're a hiker, you know. In fact, I can tell you right now, if I go on a 5-mile hike and there's one root sticking up in the trail, I'm going to find that root and I'm going down. I mean, I can promise you, that one root is going to grab me. There's extreme cold, there's extreme heat, there's not taking enough water, there's animals that come out of the bush and attack you. I mean, there are all kinds of dangers that are on a hiking trail. There are dangers along this trail of life as well. And again, we could list them for hours. We've already talked about them. They're the trials of life. They're the trials of being a follower of Jesus. There are many dangers. So I ask you today, who along the trail will you encourage today? There may be one person or three or four. I just ask for one. Who is that one person that you will encourage on the trail today? I'm so much enjoying your hiking pictures, and I hope that you'll keep putting them on our Facebook group page. If you're not on Facebook, send them to me and I'll post them on there for you. It's just cool to see all the different places that people hike, and people have been hiking all over the world. It's amazing to me. So keep doing that. I think it just drives home this message that we're all on the trail together. Who will you encourage today? Let me tell you about Emma Rowena Gatewood. She's known as Grandma Gatewood. She was the first woman to solo hike by herself the entire Appalachian Trail in one hike. She completed this her hike in 1955 at the age of 67 years old. She was inspired by a 1950s National Geographic article about the Appalachian Trail, which painted this rosy picture of the trail, and, oh, it looks fun, you know, blah, blah, blah. She told her adult children that she was going out for a walk and started the through hike wearing a simple pair of Keds sneakers, for you old people who knows what they are, and carrying nothing but a blanket, a raincoat, and a plastic sheet inside a homemade denim bag. Moral of the story is, when Grandma says she's going for a walk, go with her. All right, just remember that. After completing this 2,200-mile hike, Grandma Gatewood told reporters, "I would never have started this trip if I'd known how tough it was. But I couldn't, and I wouldn't quit." The trail of life is tough. We all know it. But with each other, with the Holy Spirit, we won't quit. We can't quit. I like how Peter says it. Peter, he gets it wrong sometimes. Sometimes he gets it right. Jesus was teaching and he was telling people how to live life. He was telling them they need to pick up their cross. And eventually people said, "Nope, not for me. This Jesus stuff, I can't do it. It's following him is going to cost me too much. Following him is crazy. I can't do it." And so the Bible says that droves of people walked away from Jesus. And so in one particular point, after these people were just walking away from him, Jesus walks over to the 12 and he says, "What about you guys? Why are you still here?" And Peter says, oh, he hits it right on the head. He says, "Lord, where would we go?" He said, "You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life." That's what keeps us on the trail. Yes, trials come, and some of them are horrible, and some of them are just overwhelming at times, but we stay on the trail. Because the trail leads to eternal life. The trail has the words of Jesus that encourage us and help us and remind us of his presence. The trail ends in a mansion of glory, streets of gold, all that awesome stuff. The trail ends with eternal life with Jesus Christ. So to whom else would we go? So friends, today, my challenge for all of us, if you are outside of Christ, remember Jesus is the only ones with the words of eternal life. And I hope that you'll turn to Christ and I want you to come find me, and I'll talk to you about what it means to give your life to Jesus, to get on this trail. But the rest of us in this room today, I do ask you, who are you going to encourage today? If you need encouragement, you need to reach out. Sometimes we can't tell you need encouragement. You need to tell us. And so you need to let us know. But who are you going to encourage on this trail that we're all walking together? And where are we walking? We're walking to eternal life.